الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic faith, Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be leader or leadership. Now, we have some leaders, and this is not any particular leader for any particular country or tribe or anything like that. This is just basic leaders in general. And so some leaders, and you all can add to my list, some leaders are very harsh on the people. You have some leaders that support one group of people over another group of people. They're not fair. They're not just. And they do all kind of things to show that they support one group over another group. Or they don't like a particular group and they do a little for that group, but they love another group and do as much as they can for that particular group. Even to the point of defending that group, where people even elect them or select them to lead and represent them. A lot of times they don't really represent them and the needs of the people, or sometimes they do, and the wants of the people that put them in that power and that position to represent them. They get in that position, and once they're elected, they make all these promises beforehand. Before getting elected. But once elected, then they may do what they want to do as they see fit. Or they may go along, for example, party lines. Instead of doing what is best for the people in general, for example, the nation as a whole, they may vote along party lines. And the party may not be, or the position of the party may not be beneficial for everyone that they're supposed to make the various constitutional laws or whatever they're supposed to do. It's only good for just some people, but not for all people. Now, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, "Listen and obey your chief, even if he is an Ethiopian, or his head is like raisin, were made your chief." So it doesn't matter if the person, what the person looks like, if they made your chief, then of course you follow them and do what they say, hopefully it'll be a fair and just individual. Some people, I mentioned about the leaders, but also some people don't want to follow various leaders because they come from this group or another group. Or they may, for example, don't like the leader because he comes from this group or another group, or his skin color is different from their skin color, so they're not gonna follow him or listen to him and be very critical of him or her. Now I want to move on now, and so there was a saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was asked a question: what actions are most excellent? And he explained the best actions, and he said, to gladden the heart of a human being, to feed the hungry, to help the afflicted, to lighten the sorrows of the sorrowful and to remove the wrongs of the injured. He is basically saying the actions of an excellent person, a leader or not a leader. And he explained, he said, look, you feed the people who are hungry, the people who need help and are afflicted, those people who are sorrowful, and those people you want to remove the wrongs of their of whatever injury they may be there. You want to be an excellent person, and then you do these things. Also was mentioned, according to Abu Bakr, who is the second leader of the Muslim, he will look after all the people, all the poor people. It doesn't matter, rich or poor, whatever. If you're under his command and leadership, he will look after you. This is what he did. So we don't have leaders like a lot of time. We don't have leaders like that. Or they don't stay in position that long by either people vote them out or others will go against them or whatever the reason the person no longer leads because he's a fair and just individual. And if you're looking after the poor, some people don't like the fact that his leader is looking after poor people. And they have an issue with that. And people have the power in their position to help those in need, or those who are poor. But they don't do so. And so it shows in their behavior and what they legislate and the like. But I don't have to go into details for you all, because you all know exactly what I'm talking about. But Abu Bakr, this great leader of them amongst the Muslims, he was the father-in-law of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. He was the first Khalifa, the leader amongst the Muslims, after the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, after he died. During the winter, he would distribute clothes and blankets among the poor. There's a story that in an out-of-the-way street in Medina, there was a blind old lady, an old woman. Umar, which is the third, which is the second leader of the Khalifa of the Muslims, and the third leader of the Muslims, he would go to her house every morning, but he always found that someone else had anticipated his visit and supplied all the wants of the old lady. One day, Umar went to the house of the lady earlier than usual and found that the man who visited the old lady every morning was none other than Abu Bakr. And this is a beautiful thing that you all need to know about this great leader amongst the Muslims. And that he don't make a big deal of it or brag about it or people take pictures of him or anything like that, a photo op or selfies or whatever they do. He doesn't do that or brag about it. I'm going to kind of, this is my paraphrasing, of course, or brag about it, Facebook with it, brag about it on Facebook or Instagram, anything like that, or TikTok. He didn't do that kind of thing. Israel things existed during that time. That wasn't his style. That was not his way. He did things privately that his right hand did not know what his left hand was doing. His left hand didn't know what his right hand is doing. In other words, people didn't know that he was doing this kind of thing, and he didn't brag about it. Guess what I did, people? I went to the old lady house, and I did this or the other for this old lady. He didn't do this kind of thing. And Umar, he didn't do it either, because he was going to help this lady and not brag about it and make a big announcement. Guess what? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to stop by this lady's house and help her in this out-of-way place in Mecca, in Medina. And so this is what he did. So we don't have a lot of leaders like this that will go around, find out what people need. I mean, may have it somewhere, I don't know. And I don't want to knock them. Keep doing leaders who are doing this, keep doing it. I may miss it because you're not as highlighted as those who are out there doing near nothing and just in the position. Only time you hear from them when it's time to be for them to be elected again, and then they make all these promises and they don't live up to their promises. Don't make the promise if you're not gonna live up to it. Okay, so let's move on. Now, in one year, it was like around 640 A.D. after the death of Isa. The Arabia suffered from serious drought. There was no rain, and as such, there was no and no cultivation that led to serious famine. There was not a blade of grass to be found anywhere. And as such, there was nothing for animals to graze upon. Because of the serious famine condition, the people were involved in a great distress. Black dust storms blew over the countryside, and that added to the distress of the people. The people from the interior flock of the cities, there was practically no grain in the market. They only have ghee or butter, and meat disappear from the market. So then one of their main staples was this ghee or this butter and the meat. They didn't have that available to them. It became such a serious problem to feed the people. Umar rose to the occasion. It's under his leadership. He wrote to the providences, the prophetical governors, asking them to send food grains to Arabia. Camel loads of food grain and other necessities of life came from Syria, Iraq, and Egypt. These were all basically Muslim countries at the time. Food grains were received from Egypt through the sea as well. Umar distributed food grain and other necessities among the family. Also, meals were cooked at the state level, and all persons from interior of the desert who took refuge in Medina were fed daily at the state's expense. According to one account, as many as 40,000 persons were fed every day. At night, he would move about the street from street to street to see for himself that all had been fed. Whenever any case of hardship came to his notice, he would rush relief immediately. He would be in most cases carrying the relief goods on his back. After taking his rounds, Umar would pray to Allah to later hours of the night. He would then wake up in the early hours of the morning and again pray before going to the masjid to lead the morning prayer. So it's a very beautiful thing. We had the short story about Abu Bakr. He did much more, but I just kind of made the short story. And then also I said the short story. And then you have Umar. The famine did not bring him down. He rose to the occasion, and he was the leader of the Muslims. And so he told the governors, send some of your food stuff, the extra food stuff from your warehouses, if you will, and you send it to us. And then he got in touch, of course, with Syria and Iraq and Egypt, and they sent the food stuff. Even Egypt sent the food stuff on land and also on sea. And they cooked the food and fed the people, 40,000 people a day that came into Medina. He fed the people. He didn't say, he didn't build a fence and say, that's your problem. We're not going to worry about you. We're going to just worry about the people that are here in our presence. No, he worried about all people. He too, like Abu Bakr, would walk around town to find out who needed something, and he would get it to them. And matter of fact, one time he went, and I think I said told a story to you all before, he saw a fire in the distance, and then he got closer to the fire, and saw a woman there stirring the boiling pot of water, and children were crying around the flame. He got closer and looked inside the boiling water. He didn't see any food or anything. And the woman did not really see him or knows who he was, and she complained that, look, he said, the Amir, the leader of the Muslims, doesn't care about us. He not identifies us, and, oh, I'm the Amir, I'll take the blame, I'm going to take care of you. No, he immediately turned around and went to the warehouse and got the bags of flour, whatever the woman need, and took it out there to the woman. Matter of fact, the person who was a guardian of the warehouse, he said, Amir Mukamino, he said, hey, Umar, you want me to carry this thing? Okay, I got it. Umar said, no. I'm going to carry it. I'm going to load these things on my shoulder and carry it because it's my responsibility. It's my responsibility in this life to take care of this woman and her children. So he is very serious about his commitment. He didn't say, okay, you guys here go get this flour and milk or whatever and take it out to the lady. No. What he did, he went and got the flour and milk or whatever and whatever was needed. And he took it out to the lady. And he continued by understanding that he continued to do this to make sure the lady was taken care of. And so that was the kind of man that he was. And that's the kind of leaders that we all need. And those are the kind of leaders that we demand. We voted for you. We got you the position. So look after the people. Not just one particular set of people, a group of people, a race of people. Look out for all the people. That's what they should be doing. They should be looking out, of course, for their people and looking out for all the people that they represented. For example, in America, we have basically about two parties, maybe three parties. We have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have Independent, we have the Green Party, we have various parties. And they should not just look after their party members. They should look at the whole of United States. You're not part of my party. I'm not gonna look out for you at all. I'm gonna make rules and regulations and law go against you. So this is not fair to those people who need the help and need whatever the assistance, whatever they need, because you have to look after those people that are in your country, the people you have responsibility for. And the king has the responsibility of his nation. And then, of course, the husband has the responsibility of his family, and then the wife has the responsibility of the household and the family when the husband is not there. And Umar rose to the occasion, and he got the people what they needed, and he fed the people, and also, as I mentioned before, will go around seeing if people need clothing or firewood and anything like that, and so that they'll be able to survive. This was the kind of person that he was, and this is the kind of leadership that we need and the kind of leadership that we demand. And those leaders who are listening to this episode, you can change. It's not too late for you to change. Maybe you have to make the difference and not be afraid to make the difference. Maybe other people in your party would not agree with you. Okay, that's it. May you be a one-term leader. Okay, that may be it. Senator or whatever it may be, that may be it. But the thing is, at least you know you did what is right, or what was right at the time, or what you thought was right at the time, and more people benefit from you doing what is right. And when you go before your Lord, or before Allah, then Allah already recorded that you did what was right for all the people, and not just some of the people, or just for yourself. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And so I want to mention something that is very important, is that being very careful as a leader not to overstep your bounds and to lead people and not be out there to destroy people. I'm going to give you an example of that. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he sent an army unit for a campaign, or for some campaign. And appointed a man from the Ansars. This is the people, or the people who were the people that were in Medina, and invited the Prophet to come from Mecca to Medina and establish the first Islamic state there inside of Medina. But I'm going to move on. This person was Ansar, or the helpers of Allah, as his commander, and ordered them, the soldiers, to obey him. During the campaign, he became angry with them and said, "Didn't the Prophet, may peace and blessing upon him, order you to obey me?" They said, "Yes." He said, "I order you to collect wood and make a fire and then throw yourselves into it." So they collected wood and made a fire, but when they were about to throw themselves into it, they started looking at each other, and some of them said, we follow Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, to escape from the fire. How should we enter it now? So, while they were in that state, the fire extinguished or went out, and their commander was his anger abated. The event was mentioned to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, and he said, "If you have entered the fire, they would have never came out of it, for obedience is required only in what is good." And so we see from this is that, okay, the man's human. He got angry and he told him, collect the wood, make a fire, and you throw yourselves into it. You're supposed to obey me and follow me. But this man was wrong. He got angry, and Islam had different formula, if you will, when a person gets angry. Sit down, lie down, put water yourself, and that kind of thing. He didn't do that. Instead, he said, okay, gather wood, make a fire, and then jump into it. They gathered the wood, made the fire, and said, they looked at each other, no, we're not jumping into it. Basically, we followed the Prophet Muhammad to keep away from the fire and not to jump into the fire. And then they related to the Prophet Muhammad, as I read, and then he said what? He said, look, if you would have jumped in that fire, you would not been able to get out of that fire. So that's what these particular individuals did. It was their experience having a person who was angry. His angry, as the fire went out, his angry subsided, abated, and it came sort of to his senses. But the thing is that at that time, he became very, very angry with the people. And so if your leader is telling you to do something that goes against, for example, for the Muslim, go against Islam, we don't follow them. Like I mentioned earlier, even the person is what you call an Ethiopian and a razor-headed person, we follow them, we obey them. But of course, if a person is doing anything that going against Islam and the very criteria of Islam, we don't obey them and we don't follow them. Islam is a very simple religion, a way of life. It's not just for one person to say, follow, I'll read it and interpret it for you. No, we don't. It's not like that in Islam. You can basically read for yourself. Sometimes some of the scholars who are a little more learned than many of us, they can clarify some things for us. But the thing is, we don't depend on anyone to translate things for us and tell us things, and we don't do anything. Like, for example, having a leader say, for example, for you to take your Quran, wrap it up, and then put it on the top shelf and don't read it, and then I'll tell you what it says. That leader may not have ever read Quran at all. He or she is going by what they feel what you should be doing. So we have to be very, very careful about that, my students, about obeying the person that's going to take you to the hellfire instead of take you to the paradise. They'll be very, very, very careful when following an individual. And the thing, if they're telling you to do something wrong, you don't do it. You have some Islam, some way of Islam, where Islam is saying don't do this thing, then how are you going to do it? Islam said don't do it. It doesn't work like that. I don't care who tells you to do it. If Quran said don't do it, you don't do it. If Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, say don't do it, then you don't do it. It really is that simple. Now, suppose we have, for example, a person who, for example, is not good for that position. And we probably have leaders like this, and you all know exactly what I'm talking about, that you have leaders that should not be in leadership positions. You scratch your head sometime and wonder how this person got into the leadership position. How is that? Why are so many people blind by this person and what they're saying, but you know this person is not saying things correctly? And they're speaking with a tongue that is not one tongue. They're speaking with several tongues. They're saying one thing, but then they're doing something else with it, like a hypocrite. And they're doing something else. They're not true to their word, and they're not trustworthy. So let me tell you about these kind of individuals and be very aware about these types of individuals, because we all should know and understand these particular individual. While the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was saying something in a gathering, a Bedouin came and asked him, "When would the hour, meaning doomsday, take place?" Allah's messenger, may peace be upon him, continued his talk. So soon people said that Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, had heard the question, but did not look at what the Bedouin had asked. Some of them said that Allah's prophet, messenger, may peace be upon him, had not heard it. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, finished his speech, he said, "Where is the questioner who inquired about the hour or the doomsday, if you will?" The Bedouin said, "I am here, Anahuna." They said, "I am here, Mawjood." "And O Messenger of Allah, or O Prophet of Allah." Then the Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, and he explained when the doomsday would take place. He said, "When honesty is lost, then wait for the hour," meaning doomsday. The Bedouin said, How would that be lost? The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "When the power or the authority comes in the hands of an unfit persons, then wait for the hour." So you all definitely know what I'm talking about, where a lot of times authority and power are in the hands of people that should not have authority or power. It might be nepotism. It might be one family member, for example, a father puts his son in charge of something that should not be in charge of it. Not fit whatsoever to be in charge of that thing. So that's the nepotism portion. And so we wait that honesty. So we wait for doomsday to come, or wait for the hour to come where Allah will have the angel blow the horn, and then we will swoon and faint and get up, and then we will stand before Allah naked and uncircumcised. And of course, when the power or authority comes in the hands of unfit persons, then wait for the hour. And we've seen a lot of that nowadays. We see a lot of people that have position of authority, so that should not be in a position of authority, that have this power, and they shouldn't have that power. They are unfit for that power, or they're unfit for that authority, but yet they were either voted into that position, or some kind of way they're in that position of authority, and it shows in their behavior that they don't even know what to do with that power and authority. They become corrupt and also have people around them maybe that are corrupt. So if a person around them and works for him, and they like yes men or yes women, and let this corruption take place, then that's a problem. Or wait for the person no longer in that position. Then in America, it happens a lot, they want to start writing books about it, or tell-all books about this person doing this thing or that thing, or what they said to the person or didn't say to the person. And so they make a lot of money on this tell-all book. They don't say anything while they're in the position of authority. And they have a position of authority where they could have done something about it, but they ain't doing anything about it. They have a corrupt person in charge, and they ain't doing anything about it. They had a person that was unfit for the position, and they ain't doing anything about it. They just kept quiet and just yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, that sort of thing. They were equally complicit in what that person was doing, because they allowed to take place without saying anything at all. And Islamically, when you hear something or you know something is wrong, you do what? You change it with your hand. If you're not able to do so, then you say something with your mouth, and if you're not able to do so, then you go to the lowest form. You at least hate it in your heart. And you want to learn more about Islam, this particular topic, then you're talking about leadership. You can find out more information and go to whyislam.org. You also go and learn more about Islam through the International Online University, the American Open University. If you have been attending the Islamic Faith in Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Ayamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.